You know, it's graduation time. You know, it's in the air everywhere you look. You read the newspaper, you see websites. It's graduation time. But, you know, I don't think Jesus was very big on the commencement speaker circuit. I don't think Jesus was a very popular graduation speaker. I don't get the suspicion that his inbox was filled with email requests. Would you please come and speak at our graduation? And part of the reason for that is we all know that at so many different graduation ceremonies, all the old cliches get trotted out. You've all heard these before. Just think back to when you've sat in the graduation ceremonies. Follow your passion. You, only you can follow your dreams. March to the beat of your own drummer. You will determine your destiny. Then the one that I enjoyed the most when I was sitting in the graduation seats was you. You are the generation that will make a difference. And 5 years ago when I graduated from high school, I was saying, yeah, that's true, I believe that. But now when I hear that, I realize they're saying, wait a minute, my generation has messed things up. And it's going to go on over and over and over. You see, Jesus would never have been very popular as a graduation speaker because Jesus never lived by cliches. If you want, you can open your Bibles to John 15. Jesus said some very hard things to people, and Jesus didn't just settle for the things that we would want to hear. Jesus wants for all of us to make an everlasting difference for good. But he doesn't always want us to do it in the way we think we need to or the ways we think we can handle it. So how do you make a difference for good? How can we transcend the cliches you hear in all these different graduation ceremonies and really make a difference for good that will have a ripple on effect for the rest of forever? Jesus gives us some ideas. In John chapter 15, he is speaking. He's speaking to those closest to him, and this was the day before he was crucified. He says this, John 15, beginning in verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, how many graduation speakers can you imagine saying, hey, guess what, folks? I got news for you. You've sat through all these classes, you've done all your homework, but you can't do anything. It will go over just like that. People say, what's the point? What is going on here? But Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What do we do with this? How do you take something which is so opposite of what we want to hear? What are we to think of it? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes as we look into your word right now. I pray that we would see the truth of what Jesus has to say. And that, Lord, as it appears to be grim in the beginning, I pray that you would see it as the most hopeful thing that we can cling to. I pray, Lord, that you would use us to make a difference in this world and the rest of forever for good. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the sooner we realize that we can do nothing, the better off we're going to be. Now, that's not what we like to hear as human beings. But the quicker we realize, you know, we can do nothing to impress God, the better off we'll be. You see, as human beings, we have it hardwired into us that I can earn my way to whatever I want. And Jesus' message is, no, you can't. We're Americans. We're Americans on steroids because we live in Northern Virginia. We think we can do anything. Look, we've got a bulletproof economy. We can do whatever we put our minds to. We can achieve anything we want. Jesus says, no, you can't. The most important thing we need to realize that we can't do on our own is impress God. You see, so many of us, as human beings, think, you know, if I just do X, Y, Z, if I just go to church, if I feed the poor, if I'm nice to people, and so on and so forth, if I do all these things, then when all is said and done, God is going to look at me and he's going to say, you know, you did a few more good things than bad things. Yeah, I'll let you in. And that's the way we're wired. But Jesus is saying, no, there's nothing you can do to impress me. That is bad news. But the good news is that's not the rest of the story. The good news is that Jesus says, you know, I will do everything that needs to be done to get you right with my Heavenly Father. See, none of us can impress God. We can try to do all the good things we want. We can go to church. We can do all the religious things. But God says, that will never get you right with me. And the problem is, as human beings, all of us have fallen short of God's perfection. The Bible calls that sin. We have this innate desire to go ahead and do our own thing. We want to be in control. The Bible calls that sin. And because of that sin, we can never be right with God. That's bad news. But the good news is the story didn't end there. The rest of the story is that God said, world, I love you so much that I will give my son for you. Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth, lived a perfect life, did everything that needed to be done to get us right with God. He hung on the cross. He died for us. He took that penalty for our sin so that you and I don't have to take that penalty. And when we realize that there is nothing we can do to get right with God, but that Jesus has done it all, then we're on the right path. We say, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. I've sinned. I've fallen short of your standards. There's nothing I can do to impress you. But I believe that Jesus died in my place. And I cling to that and that he rose again to give me the life that I can now lead. The Bible says when we believe the message that Jesus has died in our place, we recognize him as Lord, then the Bible says you pass from death into life. And you can start making an everlasting difference for good. Jesus used these words. He said, you must remain in me. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. You must remain in me if you're to bear much fruit. You see, this whole idea of us being able to do nothing in and of ourselves to impress God carries on right through the rest of our lives. Jesus talks about this whole idea of remaining in me. So what does it mean to remain in Christ? There's several things we need to understand about these words right here. Remain in me. First of all, it's a command. Jesus said, remain in me. He didn't say, you know, look, if you like to, go ahead and remain in me. Listen, if you want to do your own thing, go ahead. No, he said, remain in me. It's a command. This word is also active. It's not something where we sit back and say, great, I don't have to do anything. Jesus will do it all. That's a misunderstanding of it. It is active. We must choose to remain in Christ. It is then an ongoing word. It's not something that you remain in Christ once, like you remain in your seats out of politeness to me for the next few minutes, and then you go on and do your own thing. We remain in Christ. It's a lifelong thing. It is a habit. It is an ongoing way of life. It is so much more than just Sunday morning attendance. It is so much more than going to church gatherings. It is a way of life. So what happens when you remain in Christ? How do you carry this out? What should our lives look like? What should happen? When we remain in Christ, we will bear fruit. That is what God wants of us. He wants us to bear fruit in life. And when we're bearing fruit in life, we are making a difference for good that will have a ripple-on effect for the rest of eternity. If you want to make a difference in this life, if you want to make a difference that will have a lasting impact on people, you bear fruit for Christ by remaining in him. The fruit that he is talking about here shows up in a couple different ways. When God talks about bearing fruit for him, one obvious way is our character will show it. You hang out with Christ, you remain in him, you're going to start looking like him. You're going to start thinking like him. You'll start speaking like him. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verses 22 and carrying on. This is a passage talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. If we all acted like this, can you just imagine how the world would be changed? Can you imagine if this is the way we all were? There'd be no problems in the world. Can you imagine if all of us said, yes, I want this fruit in my life, this character in my life? That's fruit. Another way we see fruit is when people are one to Christ. Conversions. The Bible says this in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. It says this, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. When God's people start spending time with God so he controls the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak, that makes Christ very attractive to those around us. And that will draw people to Christ. Haley shared about this just a few minutes ago, talking about how she's had the privilege of bringing a number of people to Christ through introducing them to others who love Christ right around here. That is fruit. That is what we're about. We want to bear fruit for Christ, and that makes a difference which goes on. It ripples on for the rest of forever. So Jesus says, remain in me, and you will bear fruit. Some older Bible translations call it, abide in me, and you will bear fruit. And this tends to be one of those nice Christian platitudes that we can all say, we all know it, we've heard this verse time and time again, that you can get Christian plaques about it, and we nod and smile. But what does it really mean to abide in Christ, to remain in him? If we want to bear fruit for him, if we want to obey the command that our Lord has made, remain in me, how do you do it? How do you take it out of the realm of a nice churchy saying in a Christian plaque and live it out Monday to Saturday? Remaining in Christ is an attitude we have. There are no simple do these eight things and bingo, that's it. Because the way we're wired, we'd love to just check that list off and go on through it. But there's a couple things we need to keep in mind if we are to remain in Christ. If you want to make a difference that will last for the rest of forever, remember these things. First of all, we get ourselves aligned with God. I love this word. A friend of mine uses this word to describe getting our mind set in the right place by God every day. You know, as Christians, you know, we have this own our own little lingo and terms we use, our quiet time, our devotions, all these sort of things. And they can become stale terms. They can just become trite terms. But I love this whole idea of calling it alignment. And that is that every day, throughout the day, I say, Lord, I want my mind set on you. It's a choice I make every day to say, Lord, I want to see what you have to say in your word and read the Bible. It's a choice we make every day to go to God in prayer, asking for wisdom. And it's a choice we make every day to say, okay, God, I'm going to submit to you. You are God, I am not. And whatever you want to do in my life, that's fine. I'm lining up under you. So one of the first things we have to remember, if we want to bear fruit, is that we have got to line up under God. We align ourselves with him, and that's something we do every day. Just coming in on a Sunday morning and hearing something isn't enough. It's something we have to do every day throughout the day. Lord, I'm lining up under you. And as this happens, God is going to be working in our life. He's going to be directing our thinking. He's going to be putting us in different directions, different places so that we can serve him. Second thing we need to have is an awareness of what God is doing all around us. Have an awareness that God is at work. Have an awareness that this life is not all about me. Have an awareness that things happen to me that I may not like. And that's okay. As long as I say, okay, Lord, use these things so I can be a blessing to others. We've got to have an awareness that God is working all around us. And when we have this awareness that God is working, and we say, okay, Lord, you're working, that's fine. Don't compare yourselves to other people. We love to look at others and say, man, how come they're so happy? How come everything is going right for them? Their kids listen to them. Their kids respect them. How come they're driving this kind of car and I'm not? How come they've got this job, this career they love, and I'm not? Or how come I've been struck with this disease? Or how come my marriage is falling apart? All kinds of things. And we need to say, Lord, you're working in this. And as we align ourselves, we say, okay, Lord, you're Lord, I'm not. Lord, you're working all around me. We also, in our culture, have this whole idea of celebrity worship and hero worship. Man, look at all these great things they're doing. But God says, look, some people are going to do a lot of very public things, and others aren't, and that's okay. Don't compare yourselves with others. God has us in different stations in life. Someone might be an evangelist speaking to tens of thousands of people. You think, wow, they're doing great things for God. Some of you might be here and you feel like, you know, I'm just stuck at home changing diapers and kids. But God can use that greatly as you model the way of Jesus Christ to your children. Some of you may say, you know, I don't do much in ministry, but, you know, I'm doing pretty well in business. Your business can be a mission field that God wants to use you in to draw other people to himself, to bear fruit. Fruit also grows at different rates. Don't compare yourselves. Some people may learn lessons really quickly. Others might go through more of a twisting path, and that's okay. But if we're to remain in Christ, we've got to align ourselves with him every day. And we've got to choose to have an awareness that God is at work and to look for ways that he is working around us. We've got to realize, look, this is not all about me. This is not about me following all my dreams. This is not about me marching to the beat of my own drummer. This is not about me doing this. This is about me saying, Lord, I'm here for you. You do whatever you want. And if you are going to take me through a time of sickness so that others can see how I handle it and that brings you glory, great. Lord, if you put me in charge of a major corporation and that draws people to you, great. Lord, if you put me as a missionary and you use me to draw people to you overseas, great. Lord, if you keep me at home and the main thing I have to show for my life for a number of years is just the children I raise, but I'm pointing them towards you, great. Don't compare yourselves to other people. Choose to align yourself under God, have an awareness of him, and say, Lord, I want to bear much fruit for you. And when we bear fruit for Christ, that's making a difference that will last forever. And if we make a difference that will last forever, that's really what we want. You know, I started kind of negative this morning with the, you can't do anything. And again, you're never going to hear a graduation speaker saying, you can't do anything. You've wasted your time in all these classes. You can't do anything. But the reality is, once we recognize that, you know, I can't do anything that will last forever, that's bad news. But the good news begins when we accept the fact that, you know, God can do things so much greater through us when we say, Lord, I've lined up under you. Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. The story doesn't have to stop with the you can't do anything. The story can carry on when we say, you know, I can't do anything by myself, but Lord, I'm making myself available to you to do whatever you want or whatever you need me to do. You know, as Michael was sharing earlier this morning, he said he came to a point when he was in his Coatesville mission trip that, you know, it's not all about me. Then he also shared how the Lord stoops down and makes us great. And you see, it's when we hit that point of nothingness that the Lord stoops down and he says, I can do great things through you. Later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And for us to get to that point, we've just got to say, all right, Lord, I'm done trying to do it my way. I'm done trying to do it by myself. Lord, I'm turning to you. I want to line up under you. I want to be aware of all that you're doing. And Lord, I am going to trust that you will do things through me that are greater than I can ask or imagine. And God loves to answer that prayer. God would love to take each of us in this room, do whatever needs to be done in our lives so that we think, act, and speak like Jesus. And when that happens, he can use us all to make a difference for good. And can you imagine if all of us in this room said, you know, Lord, I want to line up under you. Lord, I want to have an awareness of how you are working. And I'm going to trust you that even though the times that I won't see it, it won't be obvious to me, it may not be my plans, I'm going to trust that you will work in a way that is better than I can comprehend. When we have that attitude, God will do things amazing. And I want to be a part of that story with all of us. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a people that really trust you. Lord, I pray that we would be people who allow you to work through us. I pray that we would line up underneath you, that every day we would get right with you, have an awareness of what you are doing. Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't yet know Jesus as Savior, I pray that today might be the day of salvation, a recognition that there is nothing we can do to earn your favor, your salvation, but that Jesus has already done it, and we need to turn to him as Savior. Lord, I pray that today people will pass from death into life. Lord, make us a people who depend on you and are used greatly by you to make a difference for good. In Jesus' name, amen.